This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
And Roddy Jones will join us coming up in the bottom of the hour. The commissioner of the ACC will join us here momentarily, John Swofford. We look forward to getting his take on the eve of the biggest game in ACC football history. And we got great games tomorrow for football, obviously. We got Florida State, Wake Forest, God willing, get that game in as well up there in Switzerland. And a big weekend of hoops. We'll go through all that with the Bojangles menu at the end of this hour. But it's just a really cool time of the year. Right around the holiday season, obviously, Christmas next week, all that good stuff. So if you're traveling about, hey, be careful out there, all right? We'll get there in one piece.
Just sitting here thinking, this is going to move really fast starting Sunday at noon, Pack. College Football Playoff Committee releases their rankings. Then the bowl card has to be kind of set behind that. In right. a pretty quick time, because some of those games are next weekend, week after.
It's go time.
You know, right around the holiday, right?
I liked what Dave Clawson, the Wake Forest coach, said the other day. He goes, man, put us in one bowl. Put us in two. We'll go play two bowl games if you're in the mood. I mean, the Deeks had an entire month off until they played Louisville last week, and you had the game here on ACC Network, and Dave Clawson's like, man, we'll go play two games if you want. Huh? If our guys are good to go, let's go. And listen, for everybody that's opted out, I mean, you know, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Pitt, BC, I get it. And you've seen teams around the country just kind of go, hey, we're just worn out. We're mentally, we've tapped out. And I get it. I mean, this has been a grind on all of us, whether you're a student athlete, whether you're just trying to conduct your regular business, just the pressures of it all. So I totally understand how guys are like, hey, can we just take a breather here and pass on a road trip for another game, which we really can't kind of maximize the bowl experience, the 15 practices and all that. So I totally understand. So, but I thought it was kind of interesting to finally kind of refreshing to hear another coach go, yeah, we'll play in one. In fact, we'll play in two if you got it. So Dave Clawson, one of the best quotes of the week.
Let me tell you something. Be careful, Dave. They might take you up on that. Yeah, I mean, the way this is going, I know that several games have been shelved, but some haven't. And with the way the aggregate's going to work on teams available for slots available, sit tight, Coach Clawson. They may ring your phone more than once. You know, it'll be like the pandemic days when teams used to play two football games in 3 days. Remember those, Pack? You'd play on like a Thursday and then turn around and play again Saturday or something. I mean, you'd be surprised, right? I think anything would nothing would surprise us at this point to end the 2020 college football season on the way to the CFP, would it?
But we've seen teams on a flip on a dime. I mean, I thought the whole BYU Coastal story was incredible. It really was the perfect postcard of COVID football 19. I mean, NC State and St. Louis in basketball. Hey, you available? I'm good. Meet you in St. Louis. Let's go. It's happening. I mean, we had Virginia and Gonzaga just announced that they're going to play December 26 in hoops, which will be hopefully a great basketball game. But it's just the world that we're living in where, you know, what the letter of the law is, hey, man, you got to be adaptive and you got to be able to be flexible and move on a dime. So that's what we got. All right, let's bring on the commissioner. Are we right? No. We ready? We're not ready? I thought we were ready for Commissioner Swofford.
We're going to go to commercial and come back for
that. Oh, I see what we're going to. We're going to take a break first. Then we're going to give the commissioner some bonus time.
We're going to break.
I got it.
There we are. That's it. Got it. That's got what's it. Getting ready to happen. You got it. I can't put one past you.
You know what? We got to be flexible. We got to be flexible. Like I was just sitting there barking about, right? Fake left, go right.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Roddy Jones coming up, but we now bring on the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference. That would be John Swofford. Commissioner Swofford, first of all, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff, and I hope you and the family are doing well. And I'll tell you what, you're going out on a bang, my man, because it doesn't get any bigger than what we've got going on tomorrow. And given all the stuff you've accomplished, the thoughts and visions of an ACC championship game, Who would have dreamt, other than you perhaps, that the biggest game in the history of the league is going to happen tomorrow in Charlotte?
Well, that's special, and it certainly is a tremendous culmination to the year that we've had, which has been a tremendous credit to our players and coaches and institutions and what they've been able to do in playing the number of games that we've been able to play, and what a game this has the potential to be tomorrow. If it resembles anything like the first matchup between these two teams, it'll be tremendous.
Commissioner, 86 of 90 games, if this goes off, will have been played. And nobody promised a straight line in June and July when you guys were sorting all this out. You've got to be proud, though, of everybody that's been involved in this, from the institutions all the way through to the student-athletes who Pac and I have talked about all fall long, have made this unbelievable and incredible commitment to try and help us get to the end of the road on this from a football perspective.
Wes, you're spot on. When we came into the season, we knew it could be a bumpy ride, and we knew we would have to be nimble. We knew we'd have to make adjustments throughout the season. If you had told me that at the end of this particular season, we would have been able to play 95% of our games, we would have taken that in a heartbeat. So a lot of people have done a lot of good things to bring us to this point and to make the season as successful as it has been, and to do it in a safe way, starting with our players and coaches. As I mentioned, our medical advisory group within the league has just been fantastic. Our presidents and ADs have been tremendously supportive and connected, and that's been vitally important. I think the way we scheduled at the beginning, starting with when we actually began the season, which was relatively speaking early, having some open dates built into the schedules, to everybody's schedules, as we moved through the year. And Michael Strickland, our football administrator, did just a tremendous job coordinating all of the details of it through the year. And I mentioned the connectedness, because that was critical, the constant communication, the adjustments that had to be made among our coaches and our teams and our ADs in particular. So, and good fortune, quite frankly, because I said all along, the virus is the toughest opponent that any of us have seen in our lifetimes, and certainly from a sports standpoint and a competitive standpoint. We've had to have some good fortune along the way as well.
Commissioner, it's more than just football, too. I mean, Wes and I talked about this during the break, multiple shows in the middle of the summer, thinking, man, this is going to be a tough ride now. There's nothing easy about any decision from any conference commissioner moving forward. When you start, can we finish, all that stuff. But it's more than just football. When you look back at what the ACC has been able to accomplish with all these different sports, men's and women's soccer, cross country, volleyball, field hockey. I mean, this goes on and on. We try to get this basketball thing started. I have been pleasantly surprised about how many sports have not only started, but were completed, much less what we're going to get tomorrow in Charlotte for a ACC football championship game.
Without question, everything I've said about football would translate to all of our fall Olympic sports and our fall Olympic athletes. And the same is already true with the beginning of the winter sports season and the adjustments that are almost constant in terms of basketball because of the number of games that are played. So it's a year unlike any other for anybody that's involved in any way, and you do have to keep it in perspective, because we in the sports world have a tendency to sometimes focus only on the sports world, and yet this is something that goes way beyond sports. Hopefully, we've been able to address it in a way that's really good for our athletes and is appropriate for our country at large and for the challenges that are out there that go way beyond sports and are impacting so many people in so many different ways. So a lot of moving parts to this, some of which are sports related and in our world, certainly most of it's sports related, but it's also in perspective of a much greater issue and even more difficult problems beyond the sports world.
Commissioner, in your long athletic administrative career, I'm sure you've learned a lot, pocketed a lot, made notes on several things. How much has all that helped this year, and what do you think we've learned this year that will help us moving forward in collegiate athletics?
Well, I think and hope we've learned perspective, number one, Wes. I think we've learned that when you're forced to do things a different way, that there are different ways to do things. You can't be too wed to how things are being done or have been done in the past. You do have to be able to adjust to change. Change is inevitable. It's a normal part of life. And sometimes you hit periods of time where there's extraordinary change and extraordinary times, and that requires adjustment and extraordinary reactions to stay on a positive path and address what those challenges are. And certainly we've learned that and seen that firsthand as we go through 2020, and I'm sure there's more to come. With as we move into 21, the calendar year 21, and trying to complete our winter sports and move into the spring sports seasons, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. We hope and hopefully we can continue to be nimble, to adjust. Someone used the term you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and I thought that was a tremendously accurate way to put it. And that's what we've done during the fall, and we're going to need to continue to do that as we move forward.
Commissioner, I'm sure there are going to be plenty of times to be reflective as you come down here to the finish line. Is this for you, and if this is too personal, you don't have to answer it. Is this a time of sadness, one of relief, or one of incredible joy? Because you've had such a remarkable run. From being a student athlete to an AD to a commissioner and all the stuff, you've the expansion. We've gone through all this before. And again, you'll have time to reflect. But is this a time of happiness or sadness for you?
Well, there's some of both, I would say. But it's mostly happiness and joy and appreciation and gratitude for having had the opportunities that I've had career-wise, Pac. You know, when you start out and you make a decision you want to be in not only the sports world but in college athletics, I don't know how anyone, particularly someone who's grown up in Atlantic Coast Conference territory as a kid and watching an older brother play and then ending up having the opportunity to spend your entire career at the University of Virginia, the University of North Carolina, and the Atlantic Coast Conference. To me, it doesn't get any better than that. It's time. Nora and I are very much looking forward to retirement, and we walk away with just a great deal of appreciation and gratitude and happiness for what's occurred.
Well, if I'd have told the guy who came from North Wilkesboro to Chapel Hill to play quarterback and then defensive back at the end, as we've all laughed about from time to time, would you have been amazed that you're going to watch tomorrow what is being determined the biggest game in ACC football history for the 2020 championship? And by the way, the landscape we got there?
Well, yes. Short answer is yes. If you'd told me that at that point in time, I would have said, okay, draw me a map as to how that happens. What's the progression here? Show me the path. And it's interesting you mention that because, the two people that impacted me the most were Homer Rice, who was the athletic director at North Carolina when I was an athlete there, and then Gene Corrigan, who, of course, was my predecessor.
Sure.
In this job, because those are the two gentlemen that really set me on the path that I began, not that I even then could could see where it would end career-wise. But without those two gentlemen, you know, I don't know where what my path would have taken. And I think any of us that have any degree of success in achieving our personal goals and taking the path that we take, others have helped us get there. And those two gentlemen just meant so very much to me and set me on a path. And I can't imagine trying to articulate everything I learned from them. And Bill Coby, who I worked for a relatively short period of time, but very impactful as well. And then the relationships have just been extraordinary. And I think the older you get, the more you understand and appreciate that that's what's most important. So it's been a great ride, and really looking forward to that ACC football championship game. That's one of the things, quite candidly, coming into this job that I hoped to see at one point in time, and that was an Atlantic Coast Conference football championship game. And we were able to do that through expansion, and it's evolved into something extraordinarily special for this league and has had a great deal to do, I think, with enhancing, from a national perspective, Atlantic Coast Conference football, and that was extremely important to us. And to see this game with number two versus number three and the implications of it is great to see.
Commissioner, I am sure there have been many times in this run that you thought back to the late, great Gene Corrigan, who was phenomenal. And you probably remember some things he probably said to you that probably stuck in the back of your mind. He said, you know what, that makes a lot of sense now. And with that said, what is it would you would say to Jim Phillips, who's going to be your successor as he takes over in February? What little piece of advice would you give Jim Phillips?
Well, I would tell Jim and have told Jim. We've had some really good conversations over the last few days, and I'm excited for him and excited for the ACC. He'll do a great job. And I told Jim, I said, the only thing you need to be is to be yourself. You've had all the right experiences that you should have before sitting in the commissioner's chair. You have all the right values. You've been around quality people as you have evolved. You know the intercollegiate sports enterprise inside out. So trust yourself and be yourself, and you'll be more than fine, and he will. And so it's pretty simple. He's the right guy at the right time, in my opinion, and I think the ACC is going to be in great hands for years to come.
You mentioned basketball a moment ago. It's been a little bumpy here at the start. Postponements, games moved around, games put together. We just found out, I guess, yesterday, Virginia Gonzaga going to play the day after Christmas. Your confidence level that basketball will get to see the same conclusion as football, I'm going to hope it's optimism.
Well, I'm optimistic by nature, so yes, I am optimistic. It's very challenging. Toward the end of football season, the more and more we talked about basketball internally here as a staff, as well as with our athletics directors and our presidents, we felt it may well be more challenging than football, even though we had learned some things from football that could transition to basketball. But it's a different sport than football. It's indoors, fewer players, a lot more games. The cadence of games is very different. So what we've tried to do through the fall season and being nimble certainly applies going into the winter sports season. So, one of the things I think that we feel, so to speak, is that there's so many basketball games and they occur with such frequency that there's a tendency to have the feeling when you combine 15 ACC schools or certainly from a national standpoint, there are a lot of games being canceled or postponed or rescheduled. And yet, percentage-wise, we're still over 80% of having played the scheduled games that we've had. I don't know whether we can maintain that through the entire season or not. We'll see. But there are actually a lot more games being played than I think we have the perception because of the fact that there are just so many games to begin with, that consequently there are going to be more games that are altered in one way or another. But so we'll see. We'll keep going. We'll listen to science and our medical people and make the adjustments that need to be made, whatever those may be, and hope for the best. But it'll take a lot of commitment, a lot of adhering to protocols on a regular basis, and some good luck and some hope that the virus goes the other direction.
I just want to let you know, tomorrow's going to be a special day, as you well know. February will be here before you know it. But if you think you're getting rid of us, I got bad news for you, Commissioner. We will know where you are at all times. So don't think that, hey, I finally got rid of these two bozos in the morning on this new ACC network. We're going to still keep an eye on you. You know that, don't you?
Well, I appreciate that. And appreciate you guys. One of the real highlights has been watching the evolvement to get to a point where we could have the ACC network, and Packer and Durham is such a prominent and positive and excellent part of the network. So you both know I appreciate you and appreciate your show.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Commissioner. Yes, sir. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Best to you and Nora and your family. And we look forward to seeing you soon here.
Right back at you. Thanks, gentlemen.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. May thanks to the Commissioner John Swofford. Be some kind of scene for him tomorrow, right? He always envisioned the ACC championship game, and lo and behold, tomorrow it is the biggest game going. And I'm sure we'll touch base with Kamish before February rolls in too. But we wish him and Nora the very best during the holiday season, and for all the ACC fans too.
I was thinking during the interview, before the commissioner steps away, you and I have to make the presentation of what started this entire operation back on day one of the Central. Day one. We talked about this one item, and somehow or another, we are 282 television shows in. And yet, we have not passed the Hope Diamond. What are you doing, Jim? Plug yourself?
Yeah, I got disconnected again. This sucker is heavy.
Yeah.
This is the daddy. It is. This is it right here. C.D. Chesley, NC State.
Diamond.
Yeah, this is it. NC State, Maryland, ACC Tournament, Championship Game, 1974. Tomorrow we're going to have the greatest ACC football game ever. This right here is the original. And this is the greatest ACC basketball game ever played. Hold on, let me get it for you.
No doubt. And there's the tape. Look at the tape, kids. It's not a joke. People think it's an empty box. It's not an empty box.
No, it's the master reel. In fact, WBTV Charlotte, the master reel. Here it is. CDC, 74 right championship there. Game, NC State, Maryland. The original box. Tape. The real
so
deal.
So you know it's real.
It's the real thing. That's it. So I've been in negotiations with this guy by the name of Billy Packer. And we have made some serious strides, and we would like to.
Mark,
what are you talking about? We would like to, at some point in time, hopefully in January, present this to Commissioner Swofford. Right, be perfect, and we'd like to do an official presentation on the air with this box, which weighs about 35 pounds. There it is.
Don't hurt yourself. You got a track record here.
Dude, let me tell you, the pace I'm going, I might just break an arm the way I've been going lately. But nevertheless, that's the real deal right there. It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
But we'll do that in January.
And just so folks who just dialed in on the old television show here, day one of the SiriusXM show in March of 2018, the commissioner joined us. Pack told the commissioner that day that he had a copy
of the
1974 NC State
tape. I had the tape, not even a copy. I had the original.
Yeah, the original. It is the only known copy of the game in its entirety, by the way.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's on the tape. We know it's from the truck. We know it's the game, but it's been sitting here for, Wes do the math, 46 years.
Mint condition, sure.
Hadn't been touched. Till now. Just
that
then.
That may be a bad thing.
I touched the box, it kind of disintegrates. Seriously. But so the commissioner was like, you got what? I said, I have the original. And Dean Jordan and another one of our longtime friends, been great for the league, was like, you have it? I said, yeah. In fact, it was underneath Billy Packer's bed for about 3 or 4 decades. And then somehow
that's a comforting thought to Wolfpack fans, don't you think?
Well, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you a real story. And so at some point in time, I don't know how I got my hands on it. Apparently, Billy was cleaning something out, and I said, I'll just take it. And I took it from him. And so I've had it for God knows how long. So the commissioner was like, we've got to get our hands on that. I said, well, that is going to be a tough negotiation. Because if you think Billy's giving that up for free, you're crazy. Well, Billy doesn't technically own it. I said, it's under his bed. So, yeah, technically he owns it. I mean, who wants to go under there? Get that thing. So now it's sitting right here. So now, we would like to officially give that.
Mark.
Well, I mean, I don't own anything. I'm just I just kind of operate it.
Swiss.
Yeah, I'm like the Swiss.
I'm the Swiss.
Yeah, I'm the Swiss. I tell you what, at this rate, I'd rather have a box of those Dave Dorn donuts that he was handing out than have to deal with that thing right there. But we will get that to the commissioner. All right, that will be, we'll make that a television presentation. We'll get Billy here in the studio and the commissioner up in Greensboro before he gets out of town and make that an official deal. That'd be really,
Billy
really cool.
Mask up. Billy have come over and mask up now. We're not doing it without masks.
I don't think Billy's going to mask up. I don't believe, from what I've gathered in the pandemic state, I don't think Billy's into the masking up thing. You know, maybe we'll let him wear the Wake Forest top hat and call it even, right? But we want to get that to Commissioner Swofford. We would like to do that on the air. I think it'd be great. It'd be great. So there you go.
All right.
Now you know the rest
so
of the story.
So we go from the greatest basketball game in conference history. We're on the eve of the greatest football game in conference history. Why not bring the greatest analyst in conference history to the show?
Wow.
What in the world are you wearing?
It's Christmas season. What do you mean, what am I wearing? I'm being festive. It's the 18th now. So it's all, in all likelihood, this is the last time I see you guys before Christmas. So I had to break out the sweatshirt.
So you figured the 7-day Christmas window is in effect that you can crank out the Christmas light sweatshirt. Hey, I'm all for it. I don't care. The more the merrier, right?
You're lucky I went with only the sweatshirt. I was thinking about going with the hat, too, and some other things. Like, as you guys well know, I've got toddlers. So we got, like, light-up necklaces. We got reindeer glasses. I thought about breaking it all out, but I thought that might be a little bit too much. You have to be in the 5-day Christmas window for that. So I just went with sweatshirt today.
I tell you what, why don't you partake and join us with the Packer and Durham ho-ho-ho holiday. What do we call it? Holiday hangout or holiday? What's it? Hangover? I'm not sure what's the name of the thing. I just call it ho ho ho. And you come join us on Christmas morning because we're going to do a special Emmy Award winning Packer and Durham Christmas special. All right, that'd be perfect for us.
Yeah,
perfect.
All right, I will break this out and maybe I'll coax the little ones to make an appearance too.
That would
I can't
be perfect.
Guarantee that.
Oh,
I mean, I got to negotiate with their agent, but I'll see. I'll see what I can do.
I got it. That'd be great. If they could join us, the more the merrier. Like I said, the bigger the party, the better. The better. All right, we got football, though, Roddy. We've got ourselves a football game tomorrow. Actually, we have two. We got the Swiss hosting Florida State. Knock on wood, we get that game. And I think the biggest ACC football game ever. And that's Notre Dame Clemson tomorrow. So I'm going to let you lead. Where would you like to lead? With a sweatshirt like that, you get to pick.
Oh, excellent. So, of course, I want to lead with the game, the early game. We got Florida State visiting Wake Forest and what could be a really important, in all seriousness, this is a game that I think for both teams is really important. For Florida State going into the offseason, it's a big game for them. They obviously want to get things, have some momentum going in the offseason. For Wake Forest, they hadn't played, and you know, they've had these long stretches where they haven't played. Dave Clawson has said they feel like they've gotten cheated this year. So I think it is a big game for both these teams. And plus, Wake is coming off a game against Louisville last week where they certainly did not put their best foot forward. Sam Hartman was pretty frustrated. So, Pack, I appreciate you letting me lead because I'm not sure I could have pumped my game had you not let me lead, because obviously everything's being swallowed up by the biggest ACC game in conference history.
All right. For the record, Chris Cotter, Roddy Jones, Eric Wood on the call at high noon tomorrow following a two-hour huddle walk-up, including Eric McClain at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte for Clemson and Notre Dame. All right, let's move on then to the undercard, apparently, which is number two Notre Dame and number three Clemson for the ACC championship. I know you had your podcast this week with Mike Golic Jr., and I thought there were some different things talked about on there that were really interesting. One, the underselling, if you will, and it's easy to do this. We talk so much about Clemson offense. The details on defense for both these schools become insanely critical tomorrow given the nature of their offenses, Roddy.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Wes, I played in a game where we were playing a team for a second time in a championship game. It was that 09 championship game against Clemson. We played them early in the year, so there was that familiarity. And the adjustments just happen faster in the second game. The packages are bigger because there's more familiarity between the two teams. So the details of how wide is a split, how putting formations into the boundary or to the field, how just the little things, the little adjustments are so big in these games. And I think defensively, both of these teams have changed some. I think Notre Dame has gotten more dynamic on the edge, on the defensive lines, at the defensive end position. Those two guys, Adi Ugandeji and Dalen Hayes, have really improved. I think at the linebacker position, they figured out a rotation that really works for them in terms of plugging in guys for their specific traits and talents. And then obviously in the secondary, they perform really well, but Clarence Lewis has performed about as well as you can expect a true freshman at the cornerback position. And then Clemson on the other side, you know, I don't think we worry about Clemson when they're at full strength, but I do have some concerns with just the number of guys they've had to shuffle through. How much practice have they gotten as a full unit preparing for this Notre Dame offense? I think that's a legitimate question to have. James Skalski not playing in the second half, or really the last three quarters of that Virginia Tech game. What's his health like? Because Jake Venables is out for the year. So that linebacker depth has been eroded some for Clemson. So I'm anxious to see who comes out there for Clemson, what the rotation looks like, and how sharp these guys look when you have guys like Landon Zanders and James Skalski that haven't played a lot down the stretch of this season.
Roddy, you mentioned being a part of a season in which a team saw somebody twice, and Georgia Tech beat Clemson twice that season. The Tigers also played Virginia Tech a few years later twice, beat them both times. Notre Dame's going for the sweep tomorrow. You hear all the time, well, it's hard to beat a good team twice. Is it? You tell me.
Well, when you have two teams that are evenly matched, like I think this Clemson team and this Notre Dame team are, that is really difficult. In 09, we were better than that Clemson team. Those were close games, but Clemson was a flawed football team. They had some really great talent. I mean, C.J. Spiller rushed for like 2,000 yards in the championship game and won the MVP. And the only reason why we won is because he had to get a turf toe shot before halftime, so they didn't score then. They had some great talent, but top to bottom, we felt like we were a better football team. And I would say something similar about what happened later on between Clemson and Virginia Tech, that there was a clear team that was better in that scenario too. And this one, I'm not sure there is that. So beating a good team twice when the teams are evenly matched is really tough. And look, I think that that old adage, it comes more in play in the pro game where things are more even. In college, like, typically, if you have an upset early, yes, it is the better team is going to win out down the stretch. But in college, generally, the better team wins 90 to 95% of the time, which is why you get the same four teams that we're talking about at the end of the year.
Pack, not to mention that Brandon Thompson almost swallowed Roddy whole in both the meetings in 2009 between Clemson and Georgia Tech. Brandon Thompson literally almost had Roddy just engulfed him twice. And we lost Roddy. Yeah. He came back. He was able to emerge from the carnage to continue living his life.
Yeah, between he and DeAndre McDaniel, like every once in a while, Daquan Bowers too, every once in a while those guys pop up in my dreams and I wake up in a cold sweat. It's not a fun thing. Mark Herzlick's in there too. Like Herzlick will with the face paint. Like every once in a while, like I'm being chased down a hallway by Herzlick with face paint in my dreams. It's not great.
Yeah, but you know what? You can be okay with a waking up in a cold sweat knowing that you went 2-0. I mean, as long as you went 2-0, you can deal with all the other stuff.
Absolutely. But look, I tell people all the time, you know, they'll ask, hey, what was your record against Clemson? And we were 4-1 against Clemson in my career, but that was early Dabo. He did not have that thing rolling yet. In 11, they were really good. Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins went off. Andre Ellington was on that team. Like, that team was really good, but they weren't quite ready from a maturity standpoint to perform on a week-in, week-out basis, and we ended up beating them then when we really shouldn't have. But now that they got that thing rolling, I've got to tell people, hey, Clemson's a different devil than they were back then.
Yeah. Hey, I want to jump to Ian Book and Trevor Lawrence because we're going to talk a lot about quarterbacks. And I also want to finish with the thought that Kyren Williams and Travis Etienne tomorrow, right now on paper, Kyren Williams would be the leaning favorite, and that's almost impossible to think about given where we were at the start of this year.
Yeah, if you're talking about who's going to rush for more yards, yeah, I think Kyren Williams is the safe bet. This Clemson team has not been able to run the ball well down the stretch, and the Clemson coaches talked about it. Hey, it's really the interior of our offensive line that has not been up to par, has not been up to what they expected. So how does Clemson get running? How does Clemson get the run game going outside of that is a big question. Trevor Lawrence is an easy one, but you're not going to rely on Trevor Lawrence to power that offense running the football. So you're going to have to get creative with Travis Etienne. Can you do some things in the run game to switch it up a little bit? Can you run some things that are not typically the things that you go to, like some more of this, some more outside zone stuff to help crease Notre Dame, or can you get creative in other ways getting Travis Etienne the football? I think that's going to be a big question because Notre Dame's going to get Kyren Williams going. Notre Dame's going to be able to run with that big offensive line that's been so good this year. But can Clemson do the same thing? They only rushed for 34 yards in the first matchup. It's their worst performance since 2011, a game against NC State. So I don't think that'll stand up, but can they get to like 134 or 234 yards? Because that'll give Clemson the best chance to win.
Real quick, who do you like and why?
Oh, man. I like Clemson just because, like you said, Pack, it's hard to beat a good team twice. And I think defensively, you look at some of the plays that Notre Dame was able to make down the stretch, especially on that last drive. Nolan Turner wasn't in the game. Landon Zanders wasn't in the game. And Notre Dame's able to hit some big plays to score, to end up tying the game and going to overtime. So as long as Clemson stays healthy on defense, I think it comes down to the wire. But I think the Tigers edge out the Irish, and the ACC gets two teams in the college football playoff as a result.
Oh, boy. All right. Roddy, safe travels to the Twin Cities. We'll talk to you next week, and nice sweatshirt. Don't leave the house in that, by the way.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Bojangles weekend menu, football tomorrow at noon, Florida State Wake Forest here on ACC Network. We got women's basketball doubleheader on Sunday, Virginia Tech, Syracuse at Boston College at 2, and then we'll squeeze in a men's game for you. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Blue Hens. It's actually Delaware State, by the way. The Hornets visiting McCamish Pavilion to meet Georgia Tech. All of it here on ACC Network. Back with Mark Packer, West Durham, final stretches of the show. And you have another gift has arrived this week?
I have multiple gifts. I got a big box that was delivered the other day. This one right here. All right. And I had no idea what was going on.
Good night.
So I opened this thing up, Wes. And you know I love handwritten notes. And it's from our good friends at Bojangles.
Oh.
All right. So I opened it up and it says, Mark, we cannot get you the Bojangles candle. Sadly, it isn't real. Now remember, I wanted the Bojangles scented biscuit candle, right? They said, sadly, it isn't real. That's what it says right here. Sadly, it isn't real. It says, but this gift will make your holidays even dreamier. Thanks for being such a loyal fan. Your friends at Bojangles. So I open up the box, and what I have is a Bojangles biscuit pillow. There it is. How about that? A Bojangles biscuit. There it is. Buttery. The only thing that would be better would be one that was actually this size with bacon, egg, and cheese in the middle of it. That'd be perfecto for me right about now. So thanks to Bojangles. Got the biscuit pillow.
Seriously? That is awesome.
You like that, don't you?
That is awesome.
And also, one real quick shout out to
Where
this guy.
Where you gonna put that?
Anywhere I want, apparently. Brent Durbin, who lives in Union Grove, Alabama. I don't know Brent, but I appreciate it very much because he sent me a package that had Uncle Nearest 1856. Right there, Wes. Just don't know Brent, but Brent, my man, thank you very much.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.